Phil O'Keefe joins us, and we're talking about the graduation of Tane, who attended a co-op that he's been spearheading called Redemption Journey Men's Group, Safe Man, Safe Family. That's the catch cry of Phil O'Keefe, who is with us, and Phil O'Keefe Pakeha, actually. Thank you for your time, Phil. It's great to catch up with you again. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora. Good morning. Good morning.
Kia ora. Well, your faith has helped you to coordinate this kaupapa, Tane, from the Redemption Journey Men's Group. Can you tell us about that group, please?
Yeah, kia ora. Kia ora. So I've been working with the Safe Man, Safe Family kaupapa now for about 3 years. Started a group in Whangarei and working with perpetrators of family violence. So over the last 3 years, we've had a lot of men from the prison, probation office, court referred, lawyer referred, judge referred to our kaupapa, and group starting to grow. So we have up to 30 men every Tuesday come to group. Some of them are active gang members, some of them are former gang members, and others are just businessmen or just the general public off the street come to our kaupapa to get support around their addictions, their anger, just a lot of things, including depression, all those sorts of things. Although they get referred to us with anger issues, when you dig a bit deeper, you know, you're dealing with historical trauma for some of them. So yesterday was a good day. We had all their family come to support them and come to celebrate the successes of them, of their tāne, their dad, their papa. It was a good day.
Tēnā koe, Phil. You know, people, you use the term historical trauma and some people go, oh yeah. But you've witnessed firsthand that this is a reality when you unravel or take away some of the layers of life. It can come down to distress at a particular stage of life that was unresolved. Tell us more about historical trauma and how it surfaces.
You're exactly right. We're not the only group that's dealing with this. I mean, there's many other groups that are dealing with it too. And that seems to be, you know, the reference point for a lot of the antisocial behaviour that with the men that we work with, including myself. I mean, my reference point for my antisocial behaviour was my dad. And but when I, you know, when I recognised that, I decided that, you know, I needed to talk to my father about how I was feeling as a young person, you know, growing up. And as an adult man, I got to sit with my dad, and I got to talk to him about how I was feeling as a kid, when I was dealing with my dad's violence. Anyway, my father apologized to me, and there was the start of a new relationship between me and my father. Now, this, you know, it's not this. I say this because it happened to me. And when the men come to group, they don't say much. You know, they listen to other men talk, and then when they hear the other men talk about their, you know, about their past, well, then they say, "Oh, gee, that guy's telling my story," and then other things start to unravel. The men start to talk about the deeper things, you know, that that affect them. And some of them, these are the men we're talking about, have had to suffer in silence about their sexual abuse. So we hear a lot about our wahine being sexually abused, but you don't hear much about the men. So a lot of these things come out. And once that word stuff starts to unravel, we help to reconcile and restore, you know, the mana of these men. So, so that's what it's all about. You know, we're trying to keep our men out of prison. You know, we're done with using the Westminster model. That hasn't worked. It's still not working now. And so we're doing things from grassroots, so it's happening for us, you know, We don't know. We haven't got the answers to everything, but what we do have is nuggets of truth that we've gathered over the years, and we've applied them to our lives. And for a lot of us that are working in this space, you know, we've been out of the court system for over 30 years. No alcohol, no drugs, no violence. So that's working for us, and we're going to continue on that vein of money with the men that we work with.
Must have been very satisfying yesterday then to see some of these guys stand proudly with their whānau who perhaps remain somewhat unaware of what Dad's been through in his youth. You touched on sexual abuse. It may be something that these guys have spoken about in your setting, in the safety of your setting, but not maybe you haven't even broached it with their own whānau.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just the whakamāre, the shame, you know. Just a lot of things that the men have to deal with, but we've seen a lot, you know. Although the Safe Men, Safe Family Kaupapa group has only been going for 3 years, I've been doing the work for over 20 years, so I've seen a lot. You know, I've seen a lot, in terms of the sexual abuse. That's something that the men just sort of kept to themselves, too shameful to talk about, all those sorts of things. But once they've spoken it out, it's like a relief that they don't have to keep that a secret anymore. And so it's been amazing. The whole journey's been amazing. And to see the children and their wahine, horonga tira, come to support them. And it's something that we need to do more often, to celebrate the successes of our men. We don't do that often. It's something that we need to do and continue to do.
Tēnā koe, Phil. We've got the hangover of an intergenerational expectation of the Kiwi hard man who doesn't speak of his emotions. He gets on with it, works hard, drinks hard, etc. But it's been very damaging for our Māori men, don't you think? Because we're sort of portrayed in a way of being tough guys, when in fact, history tells us we were nurturers, we were considerate, we were empathetic, we had all sorts of different traits, as well as standing our ground when forced to, but for the most part, nurturers, rather than the hard man image that we've allowed to be advanced over the years. What would you say of changing attitudes to that sort of expectation of what being a man is?
Yeah, well, you know, that they call that the man box. You know, boys don't cry, you know, man up, all that sort of stuff. You know, we're all brought up with it. You know. But you're right. You know, we were once gardeners. And then when you see programs like Once Were Warriors come out, and then I hear they're going to do a movie over in America, and I think to myself, man, why are they always portraying us as gangsters and drug-dealing thugs? You know, there are a lot of positive things about Māori, and that's what I'd like to see. I mean, we've seen Once Were Warriors, and yeah, we know there was a problem there. And a lot of us were changed by the portrayal of Māori back in those days. I was moved. I was moved to tears watching Once Were Warriors, and it was a trigger for me. And so it was that movie that woke me up. And now I'm not that man anymore. You know, I've restored the relationship I had with my partner. My family's been restored and reconciled. You know, I've been with my wife 44 years this year. I'm still in love with her. I love my family. My family love me. My grandchildren adore me. And, you know, that's my medicine, brother, is my family. And if I can change, if I can make those changes, you know, in my circle, man, you know, we can all do that. But first of all, we've got to start with ourselves. There's no good me traveling around the country telling other men how to build their whare when my own house is falling down. So if you're going to get into this, mate, you've got to start with yourself, start within your own home. And then once you know you've got that sorted, you know, then you have the mana to go out into the community to share that whakaaro, you know, with the men that we continue to work with. hundreds of men we've worked with over the years I've been in this kaupapa. And I tell you, you have to be there to see it, to feel it, to smell it. The men, just the joy, the smiles on their faces. You just got to be there to witness it. And like I said, there's many other groups that started, not just ours. I mean, women's groups that are combined with the men. You know, the groups are popping up everywhere. There seems to be an awakening amongst Tāne Māori. You know, and it's a wonderful thing to behold. But for me, the centre of my change is I o Matua Kore, Te Atua. So I give all glory and praise to the Creator, to God. And it's my family, you know, my family brother, they brought me here to this place of change, and it's God that keeps me there. So, you know, good things are starting to happen amongst Tāne Māori, and I'm glad I'm alive to witness it. I'm glad I'm a part of it, and I'll continue to be a part of it to my last breath, brother.
Tēnā koe, Phil. Speak so beautifully of this kaupapa. I can imagine it, having mixed with blokes who have a hard exterior, but you know, inside a heart of gold. It's so common. And I just want to touch on, you know, what you witnessed yesterday, because often we hear of violence within households and are surprised that mum, if she's been bashed, for instance, would return to that whare. But they are hopeful for change. And yesterday you might have witnessed that the tautoko that stood beside some of the guys who finished the course, from people who previously they perhaps would have hurted, that must be really wonderful to witness. Did you see it alive and well yesterday also?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually some of the wahine got to have a kōrero too. And so, you know, when it's coming from them, then you know it's tūturu, eh? You know that change has come. And I tell you, some of these men, I mean, you know, some of them were hard men. And what I know is that we don't talk to the head, we talk to the heart. You know, I don't want to preach or anything, but, you know, the word says that that the heart of man is... it's desperately wicked, who may know it. And if you start to change the heart of a man, you start to see things change in the wairua, you know. And this is what happened to me, you know. I got given a heart transplant, you know. My heart was waxed cold, full of anger. I had an addicted heart, but when I changed my ways, I got given a heart transplant. That heart of stone was taken from me, and was placed with a heart of flesh. And now I can truly say, I know what love is. You know, I can give love now. I didn't know what love was. And I'm sure my dad loved me the way he saw it. But
yeah, as you probably heard, that just sort of dropped out of nowhere. That's fellow Keith Pikea. This from an article from last year. He was a former Black Power gang member. We'll just dial him up so I can say thank you to him. But fear of a violent and unpredictable father led Phil to shut down his feelings. As a Tamaiti, he said that Dad created an atmosphere of fear in the home when he came home drunk, and our mum stood up to him all the time, but she paid the price. First swearing, then the slap, then the punch. And then that was our mum on the floor. He says us three kids had to pick her up and console her. It wasn't nice. He was very envious of schoolmates who were disciplined with a paddywhack from a jandal. But he says that they got the bash with the Hoover hose and the kettle cord and all of that. But as you can see, he's changed in his attitude to life, and he's certainly supported many guys.